Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
That's a new title.
I was like, oh, I forgot to tell Keith.
I didn't know that.
It was just announced today.
Wait, what was it again?
I'm Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Is there an Executive Director, Digital Director, East Coast?
There is. His name is Joe Lynch.
What fancy titles? And can I call you, like, EDD of Billboard?
Sure.
Wow. Well, we'll have to get into this separately.
Yeah, that'll be another
conversation. Congratulations on your new title.
Thank
Amazing.
Thank you. I just surprised Keith with it on air.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and sometimes new titles on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about Lil Nas X making a high debut on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and logging 3 concurrent top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, how Taylor Swift's latest re-recording of an older hit debuts straight into the top 40 on the Hot 100, and how Drake holds on tight to the number one spot on the Billboard 200 with Certified Lover Boy.
Also on the show, we have news about the jury reaching a verdict in the R. Kelly trial, as well as Rihanna staging her latest Savage Fenty fashion show and what it might mean for the future of her music career. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Alrighty, let's do the chart chat. First up, Drake's Certified Lover Boy rules the Billboard 200 Albums chart for a third consecutive and total week, as the set earned 171,000 equivalent album units in the United States in the week ending September 23rd. And that's down 28% compared to the previous week. And all this is, of course, according to MRC data. The album opened atop the list 2 weeks ago with the year's biggest week for an album, 613,000 units. With a third week at number one, Certified has the total most weeks atop the list for an R&B or hip-hop, or R&B hip-hop effort is what I should be saying, in over a year, since Little Baby's My Turn spent its fifth and final non-consecutive week at number one on the July 11th, 2020 dated chart. Next up, Lil Nas X's Montero debuts at number 2 on the Billboard 200 with 126,000 units earned. The album is promoted as Lil Nas X's first full-length album, and it follows his debut project, the EP 7, which debuted and peaked at number 7, nope, at number 2 on the July 6, 2019 dated chart. 7 later scored a Grammy Award nomination for Album of the Year.
Yeah. That didn't stop it. It didn't stop it from getting an Album of the Year nomination being an EP.
You know, Grammys, charts, weird stuff happens, you know.
Yeah.
Montero was preceded as by a pair of top 2 charting hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Montero, Call Me By Your Name, which hit number 1, and Industry Baby with Jack Harlow, which peaked at number 2 in August. On the Hot 100 this week, which is dated October 2nd, Industry Baby jumps 6-2, returning to its peak, while The Kid LAROI and Justin Bieber's Stays put at number 1 for a 6th week. Meanwhile, Montero jumps back to the top 10 with a 13-9 increase, while another Lil Nas X track, That's What I Want, accompanied by another striking music video, which is a norm for Lil Nas X at this point, debuts at number 10. In total, Lil Nas X has 11 tracks on the Hot 100 this week, all from his new album. And chart fans, take note, one of those tracks, One of Me, which debuts at number 88, features chart legend and all-around pop legend Elton John. The two also co-star in an Uber Eats commercial. You've probably seen that recently. So, with One of Me debuting, Elton now has two concurrent hits on the Hot 100, as his collaboration with Dua Lipa, Cold Heart, rises 98 to 74. One of Me, by the way, is Elton's 69th Hot 100 hit.
I feel like you've got to revisit our podcast if you didn't hear it already. I guess you can't revisit something you haven't heard. My point being, we had a whole talk about Elton John staying relevant, and like, here we go again with another Hot 100 hit. Crazy.
Yeah. I think both of these songs are on Elton's upcoming album.
Oh, the one I heard, the new Charlie Puth one that he put out last week.
Right.
That's from that album.
This album is stacked. There's a bunch of Elton solo tracks. There's a collaboration with Stevie Wonder. There's the Charlie track. There's something with Young Thug and Nicki Minaj on there, too.
So it's probably going to be even more Elton Hot 100 hits coming up, which is bonkers.
I mean, I'm assuming the Barbs are going to try to help
get
the song onto the charts. I don't know. It's exciting to see Elton on the charts.
It is. Yes. And you know who's a chart geek? Elton John.
That's true.
So he'll be
true.
Excited.
There is no lie there. Lastly, Taylor Swift collects her 138th Hot 100 hit and 81st Top 40 hit as her re-recording of Wildest Dreams, which was originally released in 2014, debuts at number 37. The original Wildest Dreams peaked at number 5 on the November 7th, 2015 dated Hot 100. It's interesting that Wildest Dreams has come out because that song was originally on the 1989 album, and this is a re-recording of it. But Taylor is preparing to release her second of her re-recorded albums, and it's not 1989. She's preparing to release the re-recorded Red album in November, which follows the re-recorded Fearless that came out earlier this year.
Yeah, this was kind of a standalone. She hasn't fully explained it or anything, but Wildest Dreams was actually part of a TikTok trend. And so, you know, it was getting a lot of play and use on TikTok videos. And so I think she decided, hey, I'm going to be recording it again anyway. I might as well do it now while it's hot and kids are looking for it. And yeah.
I mean, it makes you wonder, how many songs does Taylor, like re-recorded songs, does Taylor have in the vault?
That's true. Like, did she emergency re-record it, or has she already re-recorded all of 1989 and is just waiting? Who knows?
She was on Stephen Colbert and she had like this vision board or something that she was showing on screen, and there was all these clues that the Swifties thought that indicated that 1989 was going to be the next re-recorded album.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they've had this theory at all, but I wonder if that was the intention. And, you know, the big thing with these re-recordings is these From the Vault songs that involve a lot of other artists and, you know, new unreleased songs, or, you know, not new necessarily. But I wonder if, like, she's got big plans for 1989 that haven't quite come to fruition yet. And so she went with Red instead, you know?
Were there like, well, who were the guest stars on 1989?
Kendrick Lamar.
Wait, he wasn't on the album originally, though.
No, but you know, for the re-release, re-recording, they're going to have to get him to re-record that for a remix to go on the you know, Taylor's version.
And then you have to redo the video, and you have to call up Gigi Hadid and get her to come back.
There you
go.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move along to some news then. Here are some of the biggest headlines over on Billboard.com. On Monday, when we were recording this show, R. Kelly was found guilty of all 9 charges brought against him in a federal trial, including racketeering and sex trafficking.
Sex trafficking.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just...
So the verdict was delivered after 2 days of deliberation by the jury, which consisted of 7 men and 5 women. And Kelly, who was previously acquitted in a 2008 child pornography case, which is one that we, you know, all watched very closely, now faces life in prison because of these 9 charges. The verdict comes after 5 weeks of arguments and physical evidence and 45 witness testimonies from the prosecution alone. And during closing arguments, federal prosecutor Nadia Shihada addressed the defense's portrayal of Kelly as a naive bystander, stating that the defendant is not the victim here. He is not unlucky. He's guilty. And clearly the jury agreed with her. Kelly will now await his sentence, which won't be determined until May 4th, 2022.
What happens until then?
I mean, he'll be in custody still. He's been in custody this whole time.
Wow.
So he'll remain in custody and his sentence will come down in May as well. He is in custody because he's awaiting an upcoming trial later this year for two other cases, one in Illinois for child pornography and obstruction, and one in Minnesota for a child prostitution charge. So his legal issues are kind of just beginning, but this is, you know, obviously a huge win for people who, you know, have been watching the allegations against him for, you know, decades at this point. A central point in this trial was his illegal marriage to a then just 16-year-old Aaliyah. She'd just turned, maybe it was 15 even. That they brought that up a lot, and it was a big point of the prosecution's case and seemed to really resonate with the jury, and clearly nine, you know, guilty charges later, then I guess they made
you know,
their case.
It's just incredible that this person who has been found guilty of these crimes existed so long as a superstar, chart-topping, hit-making, hit songwriter and artist. And a songwriter, not just for himself, but for so many other artists, everyone was just apparently unaware of what was happening. It's just so hard to fathom.
I also feel like the tide has really shifted to, you know, people, you know, being inclined to believe a victim's story now versus then, because yeah, you don't want to think that somebody like Lady Gaga decided to record with this man after he was accused at that point of child pornography in the 2008 case when they recorded together.
Yeah,
so she
do what you want, right?
She, you know, she probably didn't witness any wrongdoing, but she also thought he was innocent, you know. I don't know. So yes, to answer your question, he hid in plain sight for decades. The Aaliyah marriage was an open secret. So she was a 15-year-old girl at that point. So if you only knew that, you knew that he was a predator. And yeah. And I was at a wedding on Saturday and they played the Ignition remix at it. So
were you the only person who kind of blinked and said, okay, we're not dancing to this?
No one else cared. And I made Dan stop dancing with our daughter to it. I was like, can we please remove Natalie from the dance floor? I don't approve of this choice. There are too many good songs in the world for this to need to be played, is all I have to say. I'd rather hear the Applebee's song out on the dance floor at the wedding than Ignition remix right now.
Wow.
Oh, so there you have
it. Okay, well, in lighter news?
Much lighter news. On Friday, Rihanna's Savage Fenty Show Volume 3 premiered on Amazon Prime, and it showcased her latest lingerie looks on a string of very famous models or people who were modeling, whether they are a model by profession or not, including Gigi Hadid, Cindy Crawford, Troye Sivan, Vanessa Hudgens, Sabrina Carpenter, Irina Shayk. There was a million people, and Madonna's daughter, Lola, Lourdes Leon, Lola. We'll call her Lola, right? Are we comfortable enough with her to call her Lola?
Sure. We're all BFFs here.
Yeah, and Rihanna herself, too, also modeled the lingerie. There were also performances from Ricky Martin, Normani, Nas, Jasmine Sullivan, and Daddy Yankee. But you know who didn't perform any new music at the show, Keith? Rihanna. The answer is Rihanna. Do I sound like one of her fans commenting on every single one of her social media posts with "Where's the album?" Because that's all she deals with all the time.
Hey, the Navy sent you.
But we did get a few interviews leading up to the show, though, where Rihanna kind of, you know, cagily addressed new music and a potential new album, kind of dropping nuggets about, what might be coming, which would be her first project since Anti in 2016. So Rihanna told the Associated Press of possible new music, quote, "Whatever you know of Rihanna is not going to be what you hear. I'm really experimenting. Music is like fashion. You should be able to play. I should be able to wear whatever I want. I treat music the same way. So I'm having fun, and it's going to be completely different."
Okay, pause. She always should have been able to experiment and have fun and play, be able to play. So that makes me pause and thinks she hasn't been in the past?
Well, you know what it really makes me think is, like, she's being a great, you know, Fenty brand ambassador, because basically they asked her a question about music and she made it about fashion.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Got it. Turn the question around to the thing that you're actually promoting, which is the Fenty fashion.
You're trying to talk about. Exactly. So the real question that Keith and I were wondering about today, after, you know, all of these sort of like pseudo answers about music, is, like, does Rihanna need to put out a new album? Does she have anything left to prove as a pop star, as a musician? Does she need music to promote her brand when obviously her brand is so strong? She was reported by Forbes this year that she is a billionaire because of the Fenty fashion line.
I mean, I don't think she, like, can withdraw $1 billion from her checking account, but yes. Like, all of her assets collectively in the Fenty brand are... Yeah.
It might not be a liquid billion. This is true. But Keith, what do you think? Like, you know, it's like we all want the album, but does Rihanna need to make the album?
Okay, so we'll take each of these questions. Does she need to put out an album? She ain't hurting for cash. She's good.
No, clearly.
Does she have anything left to prove as a pop star? Sonically, she has mined all sorts of different sounds and vibes.
The AP article pointed out that she's won Grammys in like 4 different genres.
Yeah.
That alone.
It's not like she needs a number one.
No, if we're just talking about charts alone, if she has impressive chart stats that she racked up.
Rihanna can make a country record if she wants to.
I mean, I would definitely be here for it.
I mean, she did a song with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
She's done, like, reggae dancehall tracks. She's done Trap House. She's done pop. She's done dance stuff with Coldplay. Come on. She is in a luxurious position where she can do whatever the heck it is that she wants. And it's probably just more of a matter of, does she want to do it?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's some people who might need to remind you that they are famous once in a while. Hey, I'm here. Don't forget about me. No one has ever forgotten about Rihanna. Like, she is the person everyone's waiting for on the Met Gala red carpet till the last possible second. She's the person who you are like, ooh, who's she dating now? I got to see pictures of her with ASAP Rocky or whatever. Like, no one is, like, forgetting about Rihanna's existence. She does not need to remind us. She is in the public eye constantly. She exists in the public eye, with or without music also.
Yes. I mean,
right?
Yes. If she didn't have the fashion and makeup and the cosmetics and you know, the whole lifestyle brand around Fenty and all, and the extension of the Rihanna brand, it'd be a very different conversation right now. I'm sure she's thrilled that people are still wanting her to create music and to still be a pop star, Rihanna. I'm sure it might also get annoying sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching some interviews with her where basically there was an interviewer was asking her, like, does it annoy you that people keep asking you, like, where's the album, where's the album? Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, no, it doesn't, because she was basically saying, like, it makes me know that people still want the music. Because, you know, you could be one of those people where you just sort of fade away and you just become a mogul and no one's really checking on you to, like, make more hits. But people desperately want new music from Rihanna.
And whenever she wants people to hear from her, she just cheekily responds to one of the comments that is begging her for an album, basically.
Or every so often, she'll just randomly throw out a stray track, you know, with someone.
You know, like, yeah, so she can just do a one-off, you know, feature here and there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, are we just getting to the point that basically, I mean, she's an autonomous human being. She can do whatever she wants. But, like, we want music from her. But we also understand that, like, you know, her mystique does not currently require music. You know, like, it
true,
yeah.
True. All right.
One question I did wonder, like, what if she just never puts out music again? Like, would we be fine if Rihanna just ended up, you know, running the next Victoria's Secret, basically, instead of being a musician anymore. Like, was there, do you ever foresee a time when she's literally known more as a fashion designer than as a musician? You mentioned, you know, Posh Beckham, who might actually be in that scenario right now.
It's comparable, but it's not exactly the same. You know, we have Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham, one of the Five Spice Girls, does not do anything really musically, outwardly, with the Spice Girls anymore. You know, when the Spice Girls did the reunion tour a couple years ago, it was just four of them. It wasn't all five. Victoria did not participate. And it wasn't anything personal. It was just that she was very focused on her fashion line and her fashion business. You just want to, you know, you just want to refocus yourself on a different part of your life. I you know, I think fans would love to hear Victoria Beckham on a new Spice Girls single. I think they would love that.
Right.
It's interesting, you know, when we think of like some other artists, you know, we've talked about Billy Joel on the show before, you know, like he hasn't made a pop album since 1993.
You know who might be a kind of weird example also is Jessica Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
She by far earns more money now from her shoes and her accessories and her clothes than music.
When she did her the shoes and everything at Macy's or something, right?
Oh, yeah. No, she's got a very, like, successful accessory line.
You know, maybe she's moved to make new music, but she's also probably thinking she doesn't have to.
Right.
And I'm sure some pop stars are like, look, if I don't have to, like, slog it out on a concert tour and getting on tour buses and getting on airplanes.
Yeah, that's the real thing. We'll let you just go on vacation with A$AP Rocky, I guess. That's fine, if that's what you need to do, Rihanna.
You know, I think there's also probably some artists who, you know, probably put pressure on themselves. You know, it's like, all right, if I have to make this body of work, this album, then, you know, how's it going to do business-wise? Is it going to debut at number one on the charts? And then how's it going to be received? And then I have to make all these music videos, and I have to do all the promotional tours and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, what if you kind of do, or what if she does what she's already kind of been doing, where you just drop singles here and there? You know, collabs when you feel like it, when you're moved. Maybe she can drop an EP or something.
She feels like a little bit of an album artist, though. And that's, I mean, like when Anti came out, like that, I remember
that was very much an album statement.
It kept getting delayed. It kept, you know, like she really wanted it to be perfect. And it feels like maybe that's what we're dealing with right now, too, is she's perfecting something.
Clearly,
out there in the world.
If Katie and I are rambling about this much, then the True Navy are probably very, very consumed by this right now.
Right. This is literally the Rihanna Where's the Album of a podcast. That's what we just did.
Well, after all that Rihanna talk, which we could do endlessly, it is now time to move on to the chart stat of the week. 30 years ago, Garth Brooks brought country music to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart for the first time in over 20 years, as the now legend's Rope in the Wind album debuted atop the list, dated September 28, 1991. Not only was it the first country album to hit number one since 1980, when Kenny Rogers took his Greatest Hits album to number one, but Rope in the Wind was also the first country album to ever debut at number one. Brooks was a phenomenon in the early 1990s, really most of the decade for that matter, with smash number one hot country songs chart hits that preceded Rope in the Wind, like Friends in Low Places and The Thunder Rolls. And at that point, he already had two albums on the charts, a self-titled set and the top 10 Billboard 200 hit No Fences. And all these things were building the road to what would become the first number one on the Billboard 200 for Garth, Rope in the Wind. So just how big was Rope in the Wind? Well, it sold 300,000 copies in its first week, and then it sold another 300,000 in its second week. And by the end of 1991, just 3 months later, it had sold 4 million copies in just the United States alone. The set boasted three number one hits on the Hot Country Songs chart, including his cover of Billy Joel's Shameless. Hey, there's Billy Joel again. It's hard to overstate just how popular Garth Brooks was in 1991. On Billboard's year-end charts, he was the number two pop artist of the year. And that distinction was based on chart performance on both the Billboard 200 and the Hot 100 combined. And by that point, Garth hadn't had a single song on the Hot 100, so it was really just about his albums that made him the number two pop artist of the year. Know who was the number one pop artist? Mariah Carey. So yeah. All right, so there you have it. 30 years ago, Garth Brooks got his first number one of a so far nine. Sorry, let me say that again. So there you have it. 30 years ago, Garth Brooks got his first number one album of a so far nine on the Billboard 200 with Ropin' the Wind. All right, Katie, we've reached the end of our big shoe. What song should we go out on?
Oh, man, what should we go out on this week? How about some Rihanna? Actually, what's your favorite Rihanna song?
Oh, we can do that Coldplay track. Was it Princess of China?
I love that song. Please.
All right, we'll go out on that, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.